Okay, open your Bibles, if you would, two places. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and Exodus chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Exodus chapter 33. Second Chronicles chapter 7 and Exodus chapter 33. Now, it wasn't long ago I pointed out something here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Most of you are familiar with this chapter because in verse 14, around revival time, a lot of people use the verse, "And my people which are called by my name." But it comes from a place where Solomon is dedicating the house. He's built the house for God. And so therefore, he's dedicating it. And in chapter 7, it begins by God coming, his presence, and filling the house. Now, keep your finger there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, but go back, if you would, in Exodus chapter 33. God and Moses is talking about the children of Israel going further. And God is angry with some things that they've done. He's going to send some things to lead them. But Moses wants the presence of God to be with them. Look, if you would, in verse 14. "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found what? Grace in thy sight. Is it not that thou goest what? With us, so that we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are where?" Okay. "And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And I know thee by what?" The Bible says that Jesus knows his sheep. He knows them by name. His sheep knows his voice. Now listen to me a few moments, if you will. When I first started preaching, I got the opportunity of filling in. I preached in about 90 different churches around here, in Pulaski County and around the borders of Pulaski County. As a young preacher, I was disappointed. As a matter of fact, if I allowed myself, I would have got discouraged. Now that was 35 years ago. 35 years ago. You know what I found in most churches? I found most churches did not have the presence of God. Nor did they want the presence of God. They had their own order, their own little things. They didn't want you to stay, extend. I preached a revival at this one church in Casey County. And the song leader had a little thing, tray like that, little stand. He'd stand right there, Brother Porter. And come 12 o'clock, he'd walk out. If he'd stand up there fixing to sing invitation song at 12 o'clock, he walked out and left the group without a song leader. He'd be in the middle of a song. 12 o'clock, he walked out. And he lived right next door to church, and he went over and sat on his front porch. I went and preached that Sunday morning. I didn't know him, didn't know anything about his history, didn't know nothing. And you all know when I preach, I usually don't preach that long. Anyway, it was 1:20 when we got out that morning. 1:20 on Sunday morning. I preached for about an hour and 45 minutes. And I never do that. And to be honest with you, I didn't know I'd done that. But the funny thing was, I was using an illustration about people that's not willing to allow God to work anymore in churches. They run the presence of God out. And if he changes the routine, and I was pointing right at this guy using him as an illustration. Didn't even know who he was. I didn't even know he was a song leader. He was just sitting on the front seat where Brother Porter is. And I walked over there walking, and I used him as an example all morning long. Well, come 1:20, he was still here leading the singing. And the pastor pulled me aside. He said, "I'm in trouble." I said, "Why?" He said, "He's going to be mad at me. He's going to think that I told you everything's going on." I said, "What's going on?" He told me his story. And he said, "I've been battling him forever. And he just gets up and walks out in services." And he says, if I preach to 12 o'clock but even before the invitation, he walks out and leaves me without a song leader. And he said, "Everything you said was hitting him right square between the eyes." And he said, "Worse, you were sitting there pointing your finger right at him." And I said, "I didn't know." But the truth of the matter is, now listen to me. Most people, if God's presence showed up and began to do something, if it cramped their style or interrupted their schedule, they wouldn't like it. I'll use an example. Not old Dorson, some of them remembers this. There was one time we had a church service here on a Sunday or Wednesday night that lasted over 4 hours. And everybody who left that night, half of them told me, they said, "Preacher, you let out too early tonight." I thought we'd been here about an hour and a half. But God's presence got in it. And we lost all track of time. There was 10 people saved that night. 10 people. And God was just moving. There was one point where everybody in the church was on the altar except for one person sitting right back where Tim's sitting. And it wasn't long till I saw him come running down the aisle with tears in his eyes. He'd sat back there and he'd made the statement. We said nobody had ever been graduated from school without making a statement of faith toward Christ, a profession of faith. And he thought he would be the first one. It happened to be Doris's son. And he sat back there, and he was just that stubborn. He thought he was going to ride it out. I raised up that night, everybody on the altar. I was praying. I looked up, and he was the only one I could see back there. Tears coming down his eyes. And in a minute, here he come running down the aisle. I'm going to tell you what we're missing today. The presence of God. 35 years ago, the majority of churches, and I'm talking about, I preached in 90, and I would say probably that many I felt the presence of God in our 90. 35 years ago. God has wrote Ichabod over doors. That means his presence has left. Moses knew that the secret of anything being accomplished was the presence of God. Talking about Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell was a great preacher. He preached, but one time he come one revival service here. 3 times out of 5 he did not preach. 3 nights he stepped back and didn't even preach, which was unheard of with Brother Mitchell. But he told me afterward, he said, Brother Miller, he said, "The presence of God was so strong, I did not want to get into the pulpit with that strong presence." And you know what? All 3 of those nights, we had the altars full. The presence of God is what's missing. And God's commitment to us is this: where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Amen. The Bible says in this latter day that we would have a form of godliness. Right. denying the power thereof. Somebody said, I long for those days when we see people walking the aisle. We went for 4 months and never had a service here that we did not have somebody walking out a service. That's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We did not have somebody walk the aisle and got saved. We baptized every Sunday for those 4 months. Every Sunday we were baptizing another group of people. God's presence was strong. Remember one time Brother Sorrells come, preached a revival, 2 week revival. We had 22 people saved. God's presence was strong. Can I let you in on a little secret? We can do nothing. I don't care what we write above our door, Baptist church, whatever we want to write above the door, it means nothing if God's presence is not among us. Amen. And Moses, he told Moses, he said, I'll send a pillar of fire, I'll send a cloud. Moses, no, I want you. If your presence is not going to go, I don't want to go. Because I can't do nothing without your presence. And let me let you in on a secret. We can do nothing here but a form of godliness without the presence of God. Now begin reading, if you would, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Because Solomon's dedicating the temple, and God's presence comes and fills the temple, I want to show you just a few things that happens when God's presence comes. In verse 1, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord came upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And the king Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. By the way, I wonder what Peter would do with Solomon here. 120,000 he offered up sacrifices of the sheep. Look at verse 6. And the priests waited upon their offices, the Levites, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever and ever. And David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, the meat offerings, and the fat. Now, let's look just a few moments at a couple of things that happens when the presence of God comes into his house. As I said earlier, I believe that that's one thing we're missing. But notice, if you would, in verse number 3, the Bible says that when the fire came down, the glory filled the house, that the children of Israel saw it. They were excited. They saw that God was moving. One time we had a revival and God moved in a mighty way. I believe it's there in the one that Brother Sorrells was preaching. I'm not sure if that was the one I'm thinking about or not. But anyway, we didn't even advertise. But we went on for a couple weeks. And before the 2 weeks was out, we were setting chairs up everywhere because the house was being full. And somebody said, what was going on? They began to hear something was happening. And they began to come in to see what was taking place. Now listen to me, when God's presence is welcome in a place, and when God's presence is in a place, it ought to make you want to come. David said in Psalms 122, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Sometimes we get up and we have this attitude. Oh Lord, got to go to church today. Oh, it's raining. Oh, sun's shining, and we got to go to church today. It would be such a nice day to go somewhere. Oh, Or we do this. We come to church, mom and dad, mad at each other. They had to get up at 10 o'clock and come and make it 10 o'clock. I mean, how many of you go to work 10 o'clock? Had to get up early. Now they're fussing at each other the whole way. Hollering at the kids, fussing at the kids. Everybody screaming their heads off. Then we pull in church. Shh, shh, we're at church. Now let's go in there and get a good blessing. Walk in, mad, upset. Or we got our mind on where we're going to eat, what we did yesterday, what we're going to do tomorrow. And God forbid we start this junk around here. What somebody's dressed up as. Who's got the nicest dress. Who's dressed up the prettiest. I've had people say, did you see what so? I said, no, I didn't pay attention. That was not my intent. I think you ought to dress respectable. Amen. Within your means. But I don't think it ought to be a fashion show. Or a contest. Now listen to me very carefully. But the reason why that we don't have the presence of God many times is the attitude in which we enter into his house. David said, I was glad. How many of you are glad to be here? You don't have to raise your hand. But how many of you wanted to come here this morning? Chris got up. She got ready. She'd been sick all week. Or weekend. She'd been sick all week, but it's gotten worse. Last 2 days been pretty bad. And she's got that respiratory, Cody, that you had. And I think you probably gave it to her. But anyway, she's been coughing her head off, and then this morning she got up and she got sick again. And she was crying because she couldn't come. I thought, well, that's a strange. Many people be crying because they can come or they have to come. But listen to me. The people were excited about seeing the presence of God. If we want the presence of God, we got to be excited about seeing it. We can't come here. This is not the PTA. This is not some social club. This is the Lord's house. Moses said, if your presence ain't there, then nobody knows there's any difference between us and the rest of people of the world. He said the reason why people know that there's difference is when they come in here, they feel the presence of God with us. That's why we want the presence of God, folks. We found grace in his eyes and he knows us by name. We've been brought and adopted into his family. We have a lot to be thankful for. Somebody said, well, look at those people down there on the lake. They're cruising up and down every Sunday and enjoying the lake on Sunday. And I'm in church. Yeah, but I tell you what, when life's over with, I sure'd rather be where I'm at than where they're going to be. I'm going to get to see the river of life. I'm going to get to see the tree of life. And I know what I'm not going to see. So if I weigh that out and trade it out, I think I'll just take my end of it. And you know what? I think I'll just be glad in what God's done for me. But we need to be like David. We need to be glad when we come into the house of God. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in tents of the wicked. Now, second of all, notice here in verse number 3, that whenever they saw the presence of God, they bowed themselves. They humbled themselves. The Bible says God gives grace to the humble, resists the proud. The Bible says God dwells in the high, lofty places of heaven in Isaiah 57 and among the humble, contrite hearts. Listen to me. You come in here all stiff-necked and full of pride, God's presence has no place here. When you feel the presence of God, if you want the presence of God to be around you, you got to humble yourself. You want the grace of God, you got to get down where the grace comes and flows. It don't come up here. Bless me if you can. God said, I can, but I'm not going to. You come to me, I dwell in high lofty places of heaven. If you want me to come down to you, you've got to get a humble, contrite heart. Right. If you do, I'll find you.
Amen.
Somebody said, how did God know to save us? Because we got humble and contrite. And guess what? It brought his presence down into our presence. And he saved our soul.
Amen.
Now, know that, but notice, the Bible also says in verse 3, and by the way, let me say this about humbling ourselves. When we get into the presence of God, like Job, like Isaiah, and others, we don't see ourselves so grand. Paul looked at himself, he said, I'm chiefest of all sinners. When I look at Paul's life, it makes me ashamed. But now look here. When I get in the presence of God, all I can do is recognize, thank God for his grace, because I am what I am only by the grace of God. I've got one person to be thankful for. Not only that, but notice if you would, the Bible says in verse number 3 that they not only bowed themselves, but they did what? What's the next thing they did? Worshipped. Worship is given due unto God for what he's done. Listen. You want to worship God, you got to worship him in spirit and truth. You got to come before him. You can play games, but you don't play games with God. You want his presence, you got to worship him in spirit and truth. Let me say this. Now listen to me very carefully. A lot of this old worship stuff going around today is not of God. Hooping, hollering, carrying, jumping around. You say, well, they danced before the Lord. Not the dances some of these people are doing. It's not this hooping, hollering, and so forth. It's spirit and truth. You say, how do you know it's not of the Lord? Because it's not of truth, what they preach and what they practice. It's easy to energize. Listen, I can get two or three people up here to play instruments, and I can move you, most of you. I can get some guitars and drums, and I can get some all this other stuff going on, and next thing you know, you'll be moving your body. Even little ones, these little kids, you'll look at them, their flesh will be moving. Even some of those old fuddy-duddies, we catch ourselves moving to the music. You know why? You can stir the flesh with anything. But when your soul is stirred with spirit and truth, that's when you worship God. And that's when you worship him, when you know what you're worshiping, know who you worship. You know the sad part about it is, a lot of this group that's jumping around carrying on all this worship praise stuff, you talk to them about who Jesus and who God really is, and they don't even have a clue who they really are. They've got them fit into their figment imagination, but the Bible says that we study the Word of God to be able to rightly divide the Word of truth. How do we know him? Through his Word. Know that? Look on. What's the next thing in verse 3 they did besides worship? The Bible wants God to be praised. As a matter of fact, the Bible says everything that hath the breath, praise the Lord. Remember when Jesus come riding in on the colt? The children began to praise him. They began to try to shut him down. He said, even the rocks will cry out. You know why? God wants to be praised. But he wants to be praised in the right way. Listen, if we want the presence of God, we have to praise the Lord. We can't come in here grumbling and griping about, oh, my back aches. Oh, my leg hurts. Oh, I've had a bad week. Oh, I didn't do this. How about just coming in and saying, oh, my goodness, God's been good to me. Have I stopped to count the blessings? Have I realized that his blessings are fresh and new every morning? His mercies are new? Have I stopped for a few moments to think how good God's been to me? Have I looked back and seen where I was when God found me and what he's done for me? If we do, you know what we find ourselves doing? Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. When God's presence is in, when God's presence is around, people can't help but praise the Lord. He said, preacher, we don't been praising the Lord much lately. I speak that to our shame. We've got our mind on everything else going on rather than thinking how good God's been. Have you looked just a moment? Those babies that you're holding in your lap? Those children that's around you? Listen, can I tell you something? Listen to me a minute. Those of you that have your children here present with you, those of you who've got healthy babies, those that God has blessed, don't you think maybe a little bit it would not hurt sometimes just stand up and say, I want to praise the Lord. I want to tell what great things He's done for me. You say, boy, our children needs to see some of the things we've seen. We are the channel for them to see them. If we're not doing it, chances are the children behind us are not going to do it. Look back, if you would. Verse 4. Then the king and all the people offered what? When you got the presence of God, you give. I have some people tell me as a preacher, I don't like to go to church because all they want is my money. Can I let you know something? I don't want anybody's money. There's not a person here I want your money. I've never come and asked any of you for your money. But I will tell you this. Tithes and offerings were taught in the Bible before the law, during the law, and after the law. A tithe is a recognition of the fact that God gives you and is responsible for what you have. When you give back a portion of that, you give back a portion recognizing that it all belongs to Him. A cattle on 1,000 hills is His. The fact that He blessed you with a job is His responsibility. The fact that He's give you the ability to earn and prosper you during that week, you give back according as He's prospered you. I've found this out for many years. I don't give it because I want God to give something in return, but I give it in recognition of how good God been to me. And I'll tell you this. Every time in my life, I found this true with the church, and I found this true with the school too. Every time in my life when I've needed something, God used somebody to give and provide what I need. You say, how does God do it? Well, one time He told Peter, He said, yeah, we pay tribute to Caesar. Go down there and throw your line in the water and catch a fish. Open his mouth and he'll have a coin to pay the taxes. How does God do that? I'll share this story. I've shared it before, but I'll share it just for illustration. One time Chris called me. I was at work. That's where I worked at EMS. She called me. She's crying. It was on Monday morning. I said, what's going on? She said, you'll never believe what happened. Well, the night evening before, we had a missionary come through. And God impelled upon my heart. I'm not saying this just for an illustration. God impelled upon my heart to give Him what we had. We didn't have much. At that time, Chris and I went from paycheck to paycheck to paycheck. At that time, I think the church may give us $15, $20, maybe $25 a week or something like that. It's what we got from the church. And so I told her, I said, what do we have in the bank? She told me, I said, write the check for that. She said, but we got a bill tomorrow. I said, God's impelled upon my heart to give this guy what we've got. And she wrote the check. And she kindly, on the way home, I'll tell on her since she's not here, and I don't want you all to tell her. I'll preach on gossip tonight if you do. Tail bearing. But she kindly got upset because she said, we've got this check, we got this bill tomorrow, and we got no way to pay that bill. I said, all I can tell you, Chris, is that God laid upon my heart to give this guy the money. And so she called me crying that next morning. And she said, you'll never guess what happened. I said, what? She said, I was drying some towels and washcloths. Nothing else. Towels and washcloths. And she said, I began to pull the towels and washcloths out, and 20 started coming out of the dryer. And she said, it was $5 more than what you wrote the check for last night. And she said, there was no pants and no shirt and nothing but towels and washcloths in that dryer. She said, I don't know where the money came from. And at that time, we didn't carry that kind of money in our pocket because we didn't have that kind of money to carry. I said, Chris, you got to learn something. God can provide. The whole idea of giving tithes and offerings is to see God work in mysterious ways and recognize that it's all His. And if He sees that you need something, He'll be able to provide that. And He's been able to all these years. As a matter of fact, now, to be honest with you, we have more of an abundance than we've ever had. But you know what? When the presence of God is around, you can't help but sacrifice to God because you realize how good He's been to you. Last but not least, notice everybody got involved in verse 6, priests, Levites, and all Israel. And the Bible said that there wasn't room on the brazen altar for all the sacrifices. When God's presence is involved, people gives. People comes. People participates. You know what I love about this church? I have different ones. I used a while ago Greg and Jesse working on that steeple. They put a lot of hard work in that thing. But I didn't ask them to. I never asked either one of them to do it. There was a need. Same way Jackie on the grass that you mowed all last summer. He not only mowed grass, he trimmed trees, he picked up stuff, he cleaned stuff. I mean, that guy did a lot of work around here. People don't know. I seen him doing it. I appreciate. If you never did another thing, I'd appreciate what you've done. But now look here. When God's presence is around, it stirs everybody to want to participate. And whatever you need here, God has a way of providing. And I cannot tell you the times when we needed something and somebody walk in and give me something. And Maxine, I cannot tell you how many times you walked out and handed Chris something and it came just the perfect time. But you know something? God has a way of doing that when His presence is here. That's why, folks, we have to keep the presence of God or we've got nothing but a house full of people. The thing that separates us from all the other things of the earth is the presence of God. Let's not ever lose that, amen. Let's stand, if you would. Ugh.